Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Welcome to Redacted, your home for independent journalism. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And glad to have all of you here on this Wednesday. We've got a very busy show for you because the border crisis is intensifying. A record number of illegal migrants pouring across the border, not only in the United States, but all across Europe. Is this part of a larger plan? We're going to, of course, go through the latest numbers, the declarations of emergency being declared by different mayors, and just some of these images overnight are just astonishing. So we will take you there.
We're going to bring you an update on Libya and those devastating floods and how there are blame to share. There is blame to share.
There is. Yeah.
There is blame to share amongst NATO countries. Maybe if we hadn't destroyed that country to begin with, they would have better infrastructure for survival. We're going to bring you a reminder of just how responsible the West is for devastation in Libya.
There's a lot of criticism about Elon Musk and as it relates to Starlink, his Starlink service, his internet service, and whether or not he should have, you know, completely allowed Ukraine to turn it on in Crimea so they could attack Russia. But there's greater calls, at least from our side. What about if you turn the whole thing off? Could that completely stop the war in Ukraine? There's a new investigation into Elon Musk now we're learning about as well from the Department of Justice. So a lot of Elon Musk and Starlink news we're going to get to tonight. That and we're going to look at what's happening with the fighting in Kherson as intensified fighting has unfolded over the past 48 hours. All of that and more as Redacted starts right now. Everyone who subscribes to the channel and who is a part of our great community here, both on Rumble and on YouTube, thank you for subscribing. It's totally free. Thank you for pressing that like button. That is also totally free. And we want to be a great home for independent journalists here. We are not bought or paid for by any billionaires. We are supported by you. And so the independent voices that we're able to share here on this show are truly doing amazing work in the field of journalism. And so thank you so much for your support because it allows us to shine a light on their work and really cover the stories that the mainstream media largely ignores.
Yes, speaking of independent journalism, we have a newsletter that goes along as a companion to this show. You can find it at redacted.inc. It is a compendium of a lot of the stories that we talk about here, plus more. We have more stories there, like trending topics, news by the numbers, some other fun tidbits to go on the side of all this hard-hitting news that we follow. It's also a fantastic place to get original links so you can read these resources for yourself. Come prepared to the show. It's like a study guide, but you don't have to be studied. You can come here to learn. This is a community. Learn and share. All of that goes on at the newsletter. You just have to put in your email address. It's totally free. Then click, yes, I meant to subscribe. And then we're off to the races. It comes to you every day, Monday through Thursday, same days that this show comes to you. So welcome to your Wednesday hump day. Let's do it.
Hump them if you got them. Again, redacted.inc is the website, not .com. People always go to .com and they're like, we can't find your website. I know. It is .inc. All right, we've got a lot of news to get to on this Wednesday. Let's start with this. Over the past 24 hours, we've seen a record number of illegal immigrants pouring across the border in the United States and in Europe. It's being called an invasion. I don't know what else you would call it when you see these images. It's an act of war, perhaps, as others are calling it in Italy. Why are governments, by the way, not stopping this? Why are they just allowing this to happen? One has to wonder if this is not all part of a larger plan, of course, and we know that the answer, it's a rhetorical question because we already know that that answer is exactly part of a larger plan. So why would the United States allow 6,000? Think about this for a second. Here's a thought piece. Would the United States allow 6,000 armed Russian soldiers to invade our southern border every day? What do you guys think? Every day, 6,000 armed Russian soldiers pour across the border. What do you guys think? Let me know in the chat. Would we allow that to happen?
I mean, in theory, I want to say no, but I put nothing past our
right.
government.
Right. I mean, I guess now they'd be like, well, okay, maybe they're fleeing Putin. Even though they're armed, we'll welcome them in. Like, I mean, you're right. Maybe that's the mindset.
If they're dressed in drag and pantsless, maybe.
But I mean, I was trying to think of like who, maybe Iranians, like what is like the, what is our biggest enemy? Like North Korean soldiers? I mean, I don't know, right? But anyway, think about that in terms of soldiers armed coming across the border, military age men, 6,000 of them per day, because that's basically what's happening. That's how many people per day are now pouring across the United States border. 6,000 on a slow day, by the way, because numbers are far in excess of that on other days. Could it all be part of a United Nations plan, a World Economic Forum plan? We'll have more on that in a second. But first, to Europe. Overnight, thousands more illegal migrants arriving by boat, pouring onto the streets of Italy, in Lampedusa, Italy. These are just the images overnight. And just remarkable here, you can see how many people pouring into the, you know, off this boat, and they don't have any room for them anymore. This is on top of the tens of thousands that already arrived over the past few days. You can see fights breaking out, of course, not only from locals, but amongst themselves, you know, in these crowds. Illegals now outnumber the small population 4-1. So the natives that live on this island are like, what the heck? What the heck? Some, you know, and a lot of the natives have been relatively gracious. I mean, they've come out and offered food and stuff and so forth to these people. They've set up tents and all of that. But it's now taking over. And now they're taking over the government in control, establishing their own form of government. That's known as an invasion, by the way. Roadblocks set up. You can see these roadblocks set up now and blocking police access. So police can't do anything to stop it. I mean, these are, this is by all accounts, you know, an invasion. When you have people taking over main roadways and not allowing police to go through, you're not in charge anymore. You know, I'm reminded of like, it's like Bane in Dark Knight Rises, you know, and what's his name, puts his hand on his shoulder. He's like, oh, he's like, you think you're in charge?
Yeah.
You're not in charge, you know, right. And that's, you're not in charge anymore. You're not in charge anymore, guys. So they've set up these roadblocks. Here is how the BBC is describing it overnight, that this is an act of war against the people of Italy. Watch.
Not since the crisis in 2015 has Europe seen images quite like this. The Deputy Prime Minister describes it as an invasion.
It is obviously organised, financed and prepared. It is an act of war, because if we go on at 6,000 migrants a day, it means collapse for Italian society. I said it at the beginning. What is happening in Lampedusa is the death of Europe.
7,000 migrants crossing the Mediterranean in just 3 days.
Meanwhile, French journalist in Lampedusa admits that the EU politician. So you, but let me just go back a second. You heard him say it's coordinated and it's financed. Now that, to people who are just like tuning in, have never seen this before, you might think to yourself, oh, that's just conspiracy theory, right? That, no, it's not. We've shown you the money trail. We've shown you the receipts on this show.
It feels crazy.
It feels crazy. And it feels like that can't possibly be. Like, who's financing this? Where's the money coming from? Well, guess what? The money is coming from these global elites. The money is flowing to these individuals as they pour across the borders. They're being financed so that they come in and are part of a migration pattern that is a replacement for the lack of population in these areas so that they can continue to make money, use slave labor, put them in factories, manufacturing. So a French journalist, this is pretty amazing. He's in Lampedusa and he's interviewing as many people as he can. And the EU politicians who were there told him not to film or interview the immigrants. They told him, just shoot the film their feet. Don't show their faces. Don't film them. Don't interview them. Don't talk to them. And they admitted on camera that they're only there for economic reasons. They told him, the EU politicians telling him, they're only here for economic reasons. They're not fleeing any war zone. Although that's the cover story. We're telling you that they're fleeing war zones. And the refugees. And these EU politicians are telling this French journalist, they're not refugees. They're here for economic reasons, we're giving them visas. We're planning on putting them into the system. That's the whole point of this. Watch.
Ouais, il vient de m'arriver quelque chose d'un peu fou. C'est que en fait, bah, j'étais tout simplement en train d'interviewer les migrants depuis tout à l'heure, et il y a une dame du coup qui travaille pour l'Union européenne qui est venue me voir en m'expliquant que j'avais pas le droit de filmer les visages de ces migrants-là. Et pourquoi? Parce qu'elle me dit que en fait, beaucoup sont en procédure de visa parce qu'ils viennent de zones de guerre. Depuis le début, vous l'avez vu, les personnes souvent qui parlent francophones, les personnes francophones disent qu'elles ne fuient pas la guerre, mais qu'elles viennent pour des raisons économiques. Et quel est l'argument de cette dame? Elle me dit, oui, mais le problème derrière, c'est que lorsqu'on va instruire leur demande de visa, l'ambassade, eh bien, elle va voir le screenshot de votre vidéo et ils vont dire, mais vous avez dit à un journaliste que vous veniez pas pour fuir la guerre, mais que vous veniez d'abord pour des raisons économiques, donc nous vous donnons pas ce visa. Et donc, je trouve ça assez scandaleux, en fait. En plus, elle essaie de me...
That doesn't make sense.
Well, in what way?
Well, she's saying they are here to claim themselves as war refugees, and because they might say on camera that they're there for economic reasons, it would
undermine
their,
the narrative.
Their refugee status.
Exactly. Right. Because under UN or under EU charter, right, you can't come out and say that. You can't come out and say, I mean, it's actually a very broad, this is something that Nigel Farage, of course, has been slamming in the UK for a long time, like the overly broad definitions of who gets to be claimed, given asylum, who gets to be claimed as a refugee and then given government subsidies and is provided healthcare and is provided, you know, housing and given all of these other things.
Right.
So your designation, you need to make sure you're saying certain things. You cannot say that you're here for economic reasons, that you're just here because someone was how do all of these people wind up on one boat in a coordinated landing in Lampedusa? Now, of course, these immigrants are now being bused through other parts of Italy and then into other parts of Europe. So I've seen videos in Bologna overnight and other areas where they're getting in fights and clashing with police and then clashing amongst themselves from different countries and different rival gangs. This is about censorship. This is about misinformation. The EU politicians are telling him, don't tell the truth. They're telling journalists, don't tell the truth about what's actually happening here. In the U.S. now, we're seeing new video over the past 24 hours, trainloads of illegals being brought into the United States. These are unbelievable images. Fox News got their hands on this. And you can see pouring into. And you don't see any, by the way. You don't see any kids. You don't see any single moms. These are all military-aged men. These are all young men coming in. You can slow the video down. And you
that's
can see,
not safe.
You can see
to ride on the outside of a train. Don't do that.
I think that's the least of their worries right now. So one of the largest mass illegal crossings we've ever seen took place, according to Bill Malusian, last night in Eagle Pass, Texas, with Border Patrol telling that over 2,200 people crossed there since midnight. It happened right next to the port of entry as illegal immigrants continue to ignore the Biden administration's message of do not come. And do not fear the promised consequences for crossing illegally. Unbelievable as they come in. Just take a look at some of the videos here of the border. And you can see this is an Eagle Pass. Just thousands being bussed in, brought in, coming in by train, coming in by bus, being let right through the border walls. It's remarkable. And this is happening right in broad daylight. And it's happening in the dark of night. Being given money, being given refuge, being bussed away into other parts of the United States. I just can't. And this, by the way, is a new record. So when the Biden administration says that the border is secure, that everything is fine, nothing to see here, they're flat out lying, of course. And the mainstream media is ignoring it because they don't want to hurt President Biden or the Democrats' chances.
No, in fact, President Biden is in New York City speaking to the United Nations. Mayor Eric Adams there is like, hey, I've been trying to get on your schedule. We are collapsing here. How about you come and have a talk with me? To which the president's people have completely been ghosting him. Imagine that. You are the mayor of New York City, one of the biggest mayors in the country, and you cannot get on the president's radar when your city is collapsing. But he is fine to go there. And make pedantic lectures in front of the United Nations.
Or rambling, mumbling lectures. I mean, he literally didn't make any sense, stood at the podium and went off and had some total mental collapse yesterday in front of the United Nations. So I don't know what the hell he's even talking about. No one does.
And so maybe that conversation with Mayor Eric Adams wouldn't be very productive anyway.
What's he going to say? Because, I know what the mayor of Eagle Pass might say. So Ronaldo Salinas has now declared a state of emergency in his city. Maybe he'd say the same thing as Eric Adams. Listen.
So because it has taken a toll on our resources, we are declaring this declaration so that we can get resources from the state, from the federal government, anywhere. We are limited here, so this will help. So the disaster declaration reads as follows. Whereas on September 18, 2023, the city of Eagle Pass, Texas, experienced a severe undocumented immigrant surge into the city from Mexico. And whereas approximately 800 to 900 undocumented immigrants crossed from Mexico into the United States through the city's train bridge.
So, and whereas then it goes on to describe the numbers coming in over the past 24 hours. So borders are collapsing all over the Western world right now. It's all part of this globalist plan using the UN as a tool for this. Of course, the UN a number of years ago laid the groundwork for this, for migrants to be pushed and pushed into the United States and Europe. And oddly, the mainstream media is totally quiet about this issue. A new report out, we covered it here in the newsletter just a short time ago, about the Brookings Institution, that a majority of Americans will not be white by the year 2045. The influx will change it dramatically in the United States. And so when people talk about white replacement theory, like, that's got to be a conspiracy theory. No, I mean, you can spin it any way you want, but that's exactly what's going to happen. So the majority population in the United States will not be white. That's already, you know, it's about to happen. The numbers bear that out. And you can read all about it in the United Nations' own documents, for crying out loud. All you need to do is go to the UN's website and read all about replacement migration patterns and exactly what they plan and what will benefit the United Nations. I mean, if you just go through these documents, it's right there. The United Nations says they want basically over 600 million migrants brought to the United States, 500 million brought to Europe. I mean, they break it down by country. You can read it in every language you want. You can read it in German. You can read it in English. You can read it in Japanese. It doesn't matter. You can read it all right here in the United Nations report. Here's just one highlight here, the scenario where scenario three, that keeps the size of the total population of Europe constant at its maximum. This is just one scenario, they say, of 728 million people, and calculates the number of migrants that would be required in order to prevent the decline of the population in the face of increasing excess of deaths or overbirths. The calculations show that a net total of 100 million migrants would be required during the period of 1995 to 2050 just to maintain the total population of Europe at its 1995 level. This corresponds to an average of approximately 1.8 million net migrants per year. By 2050, out of a total population of 728 million, 127 million, or close to 18%, would be post-1995 immigrants or their descendants. This is one scenario that they lay out. I could go through all of them, but you can read it for yourself.
And yet, when we present information that shows that there is a birth gap and declining populations, that's called transphobic.
Transphobic or
hateful or homophobic or whatever. So there clearly is. I mean, this is like, so then you have no social cohesion, right? Like, you can say you're all for immigration, which is great, when there are sort of steps in order to make sure that people can live together. This is, like, we don't care. We literally don't care.
No, we don't. And as Michael Yon, I spoke to him, he just said, like, look, Japan, get ready for Japan to have the same issue. You haven't really heard about it, but it's about to happen. Japan, of course, has a massive birth gap problem, massive declining population. And so this is all part of a coordinated plan. Inundate these particular countries, these Western countries that need manufacturing, that need slave labor, essentially, and totally flood them with migrants. Totally flood them with migrants from Africa and Asia and push them into these areas. Dissolve borders. That's exactly what the World Economic Forum wants. Dissolved borders, unipolar order. This is all part of the plan. And it's right in their documents, for crying out loud. It's right in their freaking documents. And just listen to Klaus Schwab publicly talk about it. You don't need to, like, be conspiratorial about it. They said it and they published it. We first brought you the stories of the colonias in Texas a few months ago. Michael Yon actually covered that story for us and went up in a helicopter and showed us these colonias being built in Texas, how these massive neighborhoods are constructed using taxpayer dollars to house and feed illegal immigrants. We're giving them homes. And then we, of course, showed you the murder scene where cartels murdered someone in these colonias. We brought you that coverage months ago. And the mainstream media ignored our story, of course. No comment from Governor Abbott's office, you know, just totally ignoring the story. Now it's good to see Spencer Lindquist from the Daily Wire now also doing this story, covering this story. And they did a big story, a big feature story this week at the Daily Wire, and good for them on this story. Inside Colony Ridge, which is one of these colonias, is a magnet for illegal immigrants. 75,000. It's a development 400 miles in the interior of the United States. 75,000 people. And it's growing rapidly because they're marketing it to the Hispanic population throughout Texas and into Latin America. And here again, this is footage from Spencer that shot this in the helicopter. And as we know, Michael helped arrange this for them to get up in the helicopter as well. So good that, you know, Spencer's been able to shine a light on it thanks to this. But, you know, we saw, of course, a massive disaster happen there. A massacre happened in this immigrant population in Colony Ridge a few months ago, back, I think, in May or April of this year. Rival gangs killed, you know, five people from Honduras, ended up killing like a baby girl as well. And then, of course, we showed you recent murders that took place there. So I think most Americans are like, wait a second, there's a 75,000 person immigrant population neighborhood that's been built in our backyard and we paid for it and we don't even know about it. And they're getting benefits and taxpayer dollars to fund. This is unbelievable. Yeah, but it's all part of the plan. Let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below. We've got more news to get to here on your Wednesday. And Michael Yon is going to join us on the show tomorrow from Panama, where he just got a Starlink set up and is in the jungles of Panama and has been covering the massive explosion of illegal migrants pouring through the Darien Gap that are making their way up to the Panama Canal and that zone, and then, of course, heading right to the United States border. So there's been a huge influx right in Panama. We're going to have Michael join us on the show tomorrow.
Plus, we're going to talk about an update in Libya where floods have devastated thousands of lives. But that has been going on, the devastation in Libya, for over a decade. And we're going to give you a rundown of that. Plus, we're going to give you an update to the fighting in Ukraine. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Crowd Health, because health insurance is broken. Premiums are increasing, deductibles are getting larger, and claims denials are becoming all the more common. The headache of health insurance is exactly why Crowd Health was created. It's not health insurance, it's a crowdsourced plan so that you can pay for healthcare through crowdfunding. Crowd Health gives their members the freedom to efficiently and affordably break free from the antiquated health insurance system into a healthcare option that fits your needs. You know how health insurance is confusing. It can leave you feeling taken advantage of. If you don't just choose one of your employer-sponsored plans and you look for yourself what you're actually getting versus what you're paying for, you will realize just how much of a scam health insurance is. That's why Crowd Health takes care of you. The insurance companies don't give you the peace of mind you need. Crowd Health does. So you pay at least a $50 per month membership. It includes the tools and services you need to get the highest quality health care. You'll get access to telemedicine visits, discounted prescriptions, and much more without doctor's network messing things up, because if you have managed your own healthcare in the United States, you know how easy it is to get something wrong, miss a file, miss a referral, and then you're on the hook for the whole thing. So check it out by going to crowdhealth.com, because it's time you opt out of restrictive health insurance plans and let Crowd Health help fit your healthcare needs. So get started today for just $50 per month. Use our code REDACTED and make sure you get the healthcare that you deserve. So once again, that's joinCrowdHealth.com. Once again, joinCrowdHealth.com and use the code REDACTED. All right. Well, did the US and NATO help kill thousands of Libyans? All signs point to yes, but first some context. You may have heard that it started with just some rain, but then a lot of rain as the fallout from a storm completely devastated civilian infrastructure, causing historic flooding in Libya. Now, the death toll now is still being contested. In Libya, they're saying around 3,000 to 4,000, but the United Nations is saying triple or double that.
I've seen numbers over 20. Yeah.
15,000, 11,000, 15,000 So
there was one coastal city that I think they said, I saw a report like a week ago or so that said there was like 5,000 people when the dam broke, like were completely wiped out instantly. Just like up to 5,000 people.
Yes.
So why is Libya saying 3,000? I'm seeing over 20,000. And it might even be way higher than that.
Right. Or
maybe they're being conservative in that number. But
I'm not sure right now, especially considering that so many now countries are offering diplomatic aid. So it's unclear why the numbers would be underestimated, but we know it's in the thousands. Now, the different countries who have stepped up and said, yes, we will offer aid, and different associations, we found this one to be the most ironic. Here is a tweet from former President Barack Obama saying, if you're looking to help people impacted by the floods in Libya, check out these organizations providing relief. And then he links through the Obama Foundation. Now, I almost fell out of my chair here. Yeah. I cannot believe that Barack Obama would even dare to mention Libya, even type it out on a keyboard. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that if you really want to help Libya, this may be the worst way to funnel support through a foundation ran by Obama, because let's just remind ourselves exactly how Obama dealt with Libya while he was in office. Libya was a prosperous nation when Obama was in office. The biggest problem, as the West saw it, was that their leader, Muammar Gaddafi, was an Arab nationalist. Now, by that I mean that he wanted Arab countries to decide for themselves on their future and prosper from their own resources. That, if you're a Westerner, is a problem. Laughable, right? Of course, the Arab nations can't decide for themselves. We decide for them and prosper based on those resources. So to topple Gaddafi, the Obama administration first armed extremists with weapons. That's when Obama coined the term moderates, moderate rebels like Al-Qaeda adjacent.
Right.
Al-Qaeda light, right? Junior varsity Al-Qaeda. So they came up with the word moderates. But that wasn't going fast enough, so the U.S. rallied NATO allies for an attack. Now, here's a little background to how that went, summarized beautifully in Scott Horton's book, Enough Already. And I'm just going to summarize this for you, because not only did Obama not ask Congress for authorization, he was not even in town. He was in Brazil when this operation took place. Here's what he said. He falsely claimed that Gaddafi had vowed to murder every civilian in Benghazi, and that his forces were already on their way to the job if the U.S. did not stop them on time. He claimed there were 700,000 real men, women, and children under the threat of extermination, and asked Americans to imagine the entire city of Charlotte, North Carolina, being completely wiped out. The administration also claimed that Gaddafi was bombing peaceful protests and spread the ridiculous propaganda that Gaddafi had given all his soldiers Viagra so that they could sexually assault every woman and girl they found on their rampage to the east. These were all lies, but it was good enough because the bombs came raining down. Now, at the time when he was speaking in Brazil, he said, quote, we are part of a broader coalition. And the Pentagon later said that other Arab League members were out to join forces to start bombing Libya too. Look at this headline from 2011. This basically says, you know, make no mistake, we're part of a broader coalition. And the Pentagon says, yeah, any minute now, other African and Middle Eastern nations are going to show up. Any minute now, we're a team. Well, by Arab forces, he meant the UK and France. So I guess they decide that you don't know geography and that you'd buy that those are part of the Arab League. They're not. Here's a little hint. Next time, you guys, if France and England are the only people on your side, that's a NATO attack. That's not an Arab League attack. And this attack came at a heavy toll on civilians. Look at this 2011 coverage of an F-15 that went down. The crew was safe, but the civilians who tried to help them were not. So this F-15 went down. We were told the crew was fine. And when local civilians met the plane and went to offer fruit juice to the crew because they were in distress from their crash, a military helicopter attacked them and opened fire.
Killed six civilians, including a young boy,
who they thought would lose his leg. Now, I think it's generally agreed that Obama agreed to this war, even though the U.S. was already in 5 wars at the time, because Hillary Clinton and her staff of advisors wanted it. They thought that they could use it as a launch pad to her presidential run in 2018 as proof that she was really hard hitting on foreign policy. In fact, here she is bragging about the outcome before anyone really knew how catastrophic it was for the Libyan people.
So, I mean, that is the land of unconfirmed reports.
Yes, we came, we saw, he died.
Did it have anything to do with your visit?
No, oh, I'm sure it did.
I mean, can you imagine laughing?
Yeah, that's odious, and it's odious that the journalist laughs with her.
Well, and the room full of people, that's hilarious. We came,
funny.
We saw, we killed. We literally destabilized and destroyed a country, one of the most oil-rich, prosperous countries in the world, trying to be self-reliant. We fabricated a story, and we killed him. And I'm just laughing about it in my pantsuit.
Yeah.
Unbelievably odious.
Yes, it is. But it soon became known that that was odious and that the NATO attack on Libya was such a war crime that she didn't dare to bring it up during her presidential campaign at all. Here's a question that this is the question that haunts me, right? Because why didn't anyone else bring it up? Why were Republicans so focused on her email records when they could have just said, you launched a war that killed 1 million people, a million is not an exact, you perpetrated war crimes on an innocent country. How about we push you on that instead of your email? It makes me feel like both parties are part of the same coin, because when we're told that attacks on Hillary are sexist or attacks on Obama are racist, but we don't actually attack the fact that they perpetrated these war crimes, it's a missed opportunity for Republicans and it's a distraction from Democrats. Could it be because they're all two sides of the same coin, all of them neocons who want a win on the backs of innocent people? Now, the UN estimates that close to 400,000 Libyans were displaced from the U.S. attacks on Libya, and it left them without the infrastructure to deal with such natural disasters as of this one. Journalist Chris Hedges said this about the U.S.-NATO imperialism and how it costs so many lives. He found a professor who quoted, said, the fragmentation of the country's disaster management and disaster response mechanisms, as well as deteriorating infrastructure, exacerbated the enormity of the challenges. The political situation is a driver of risk. He said that most human casualties would have been avoided if they had a normally operating meteorological service, which would have issued warnings. And also the emergency management of this would have been able to carry out the evacuations of people. So, when the West perpetrates these regime change missions and then destroys entire countries, he points out at the bottom, we just then later forget they exist. Well, they exist. And now it's estimated that an extra 40,000 people who survived are displaced. And so, yes, there are relief efforts. Russia has sent a team of doctors in a mobile hospital. The U.S. has sent $11 million in aid. China has pledged 30 million yuan. But no apologies from any of the nations that kneecapped the country to begin with. European Union MP Mick Wallace put it this way for the lip service that the West is now paying to Libya. Are you actually serious? Now you care about the people of Libya after this NATO attack helped to destroy the country, destroy innocent lives. Imagine if the international law would actually hold these people accountable instead of just you can send a few Band-Aids. So that's what we have for you on Libya tonight.
Let us know your thoughts on this. A war criminal Obama. Go ahead, Philip.
I just want to know how much we spent bombing Libya, how much we spent to put them in this position, and then we send 11 million to fix it.
Right. Yeah. We bomb the infrastructure so that this flooding happens. I mean, that's the main part of the story, right? Is that all of our bombing destroyed the way to deal with flooding capacity?
Right.
We destroyed the infrastructure. We destroyed the dam infrastructure. We destroyed the sewage. We destroyed all of it through bombing. So, of course, they don't have the infrastructure to deal with, that's exactly why these people died, because there was no infrastructure in place, because we destroyed it all. And how much did we spend doing that? And now we're going to grab $11 million to throw at them to, like, here's some food and some clothing.
It's like,
yeah, no, what Philip's point is, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, we feel so righteous. We come with a knife and a Band-Aid and we're like, yeah, I know we stabbed you, but hey, here's a Band-Aid.
Right. Yeah. Our opportunity cost in actually destroying them in the first place, you know, outweighs what it costs to fix it. We could have not have done that.
Yeah, we could have not. Could we just not do that? And then Hillary Clinton was asked separately in an interview, like, about this mission and how, oh, we knew that he was going to attack his people. We knew that this was about to happen. We knew all of these things were in place and they were about to happen. And so we took action. We saved Libyan lives, she says.
It's yes, unbelievable. She said, our partners in Europe were asking us for that. None of that's true. Yeah. None of that is true. So
she said, and it, when she said that soundbite, it was an unbelievable moment because she says, you know, oh, we saved Libyan lives. We saved America. Not one American life was lost, and we saved America and we saved Libyan lives at the same time. It's an unbelievable soundbite that she said. So anyway, let us know your thoughts on that and more. We have more news to get to here on your Wednesday. We're going to look at the fighting intensifying in Russia as the right after the election, by the way. Ukraine has been attacking Kherson, intensifying, and the Russian line has been holding. We're going to go live to that area with basically live firefights that are happening at this moment in that area. So we'll bring you that. Plus, we're going to look at Elon Musk and Starlink and what that would do to end the war in Ukraine. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo, because if you're an investor looking for an easier way to trade stocks, and you would like 16 free stocks, our friends at Moomoo can help you get up and running and trading in no time with our favorite trading platform. Very, very easy to do to get set up. And you're going to get those 16 free stocks when you open an account and make an initial deposit in that account. It has powerful tools that are often reserved for experienced investors, like customizable watch lists and advanced charting capabilities. And now Moomoo has even added a powerful new earnings calendar, so you don't have to hunt and peck trying to find earnings schedules for your favorite companies. Right now, for a limited time, Moomoo is giving away 16 free stocks when you open your account and you make your initial deposits. Even if you never do anything else with the account, you get to keep those free stocks. So right now, and you have to use that link on our screen, and we'll have a link in the description too if you're driving or you're hearing about this for the first time, go to redacted.inc/Moomoo. That's M-O-O-M-O-O. Again, redacted.inc/Moomoo to get your free stocks, zero commission trades, and start to learn, because they have a whole university program built inside the app too. So if you want to learn how to start to buy some different commodities, oil, gas, mining companies like I do, then you can learn how to do that right inside the app. Again, redacted.inc/Moomoo is the place to go. redacted.inc/Moomoo. Well, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky speaking at the United Nations yesterday, lecturing the world about climate change and how we need to stop the things that are driving up CO2 emissions. Right. That's what all these tornadoes and hurricanes and all of these other things are causing us big problems. And by the way, can you also send me more weapons so I can carry out more war against Russia?
Even though humanity is failing on its climate policy objectives, this means that extreme weather will still impact the normal global life, and some evil state will also weaponize its outcomes. And when people in the streets of New York and other cities of the world went out on climate protest, we all have seen them. And when people in Morocco and Libya and other countries die as a result of natural disasters, and when islands and countries disappear underwater, and when tornadoes and deserts are spreading into new territories, and when all of this is happening, one unnatural disaster in Moscow decided to launch a big war and kill tens of thousands of people. We have to stop it.
Yeah. So
you can, yeah, actually. I got some ideas.
So Libya suffering natural disasters. Yeah, they had flooding, but because of NATO intervention, that 15,000 people are dead. It's NATO's fault. that this happened. So totally ignore the fact that the military and war are the biggest emitters of CO2 in the world. Just totally put that aside for a second. He also warned us all that evil cannot be trusted. And he said, quote, Russia won't stop by just invading Ukraine. And since last week's elections in the Donbas specifically, an area that was used to be under Ukrainian control, but had been shelled for the last 10 years in a genocide, now they had elections and Ukraine has increased its attacks in this area over the past week, specifically in Kherson. The front line has not moved at all, but NATO continues to throw young Ukrainian men and older Ukrainian men right into the meat grinder, right up against the Russian wall so that they can die. This is all NATO's plan. Journalist Patrick Lancaster is in Kherson as the fighting has intensified, and he filed this special report for Redacted.
I'm Patrick Lancaster, and this is a special report for Redacted. Right now, we are here in the city of Novokakhovka in the Kherson region in Russian-controlled territory. Now, Kherson is one of the four regions that had a referendum to break away from Ukraine in September of last year. And we were here. We showed you those reports. But now we're here to talk to the authorities here, the Russian authorities, talk to the locals, and see what has been happening with this increased amount of attacks from Ukrainian territory, which is just across the river here. On the other side of this building, there is the Dnieper River, and just a couple hundred meters on the other side is Ukrainian forces. And every day, there are incoming shells. So we're going to show you what we can here on the ground. Apartment block here was hit by Ukrainian shelling just Friday night, and unfortunately one person was killed and 15 were injured. And we see the amount of destruction that is going on here. Almost all the apartments here burned. You can see this. Now, luckily, people are getting help, getting supplies from the Russian authorities here to repair many of the windows in many of the apartments. It's just temporary fix, but at least the rain's not going to get them. But just to give a little backstory in case you haven't seen my other reports here. This city is on the Dnieper River, which is the front line between Ukraine-controlled territory and Russia-controlled territory. This is the farthest point of the farthest city of Russia-controlled territory in the Kherson region. Just across the river, just that way, is Ukrainian forces. Now we're here, we're going to be talking to civilians, seeing the damage of the newest shelling attacks here. We're going to talk to the authorities about what the situation is. We're going to try to get as close as we can to the Kakhovka hydroelectric plant, which is basically the dam that was blown up, that flooded all of the territory south of Kakhovka. And we're going to try to get as close as we can to that because, as I said, it is the front line, so it's a difficult thing. Hopefully we're going to be able to inspect that, and we're also going to be able to get to the very front line. Maybe not directly here, so close to Ukrainian forces, maybe a little bit over. We're playing everything by ear. We don't make the news, we show you the news. We just do our best to bring you as much as possible. So, we've got a lot more to come here today. This will be very interesting on the Kherson, Russian-Ukraine war front line. All right, so now we've come up on this forklift here to take a little bit better look at the damage. All right, so I just noticed a place here in the wall that appears to have been hit by a heavy piece of shrapnel. See if we can find anything inside it. So we're gonna go up again. All right, so now we have made it to the administration building, and we're going up to the roof to be given kind of bird's eye view of the hydroelectric plant, the dam that was blown up. Hopefully you can see that. And different other strategical parts around the city. And we're told there's active drones, Ukrainian drones flying today, so it can be pretty dangerous, so we've got to suit up. All right, we can already see we're getting to a dangerous area. Here we have pieces of shrapnel embedded in the wall. There, there, there. So this is an active shelled location.
Вон наш розрушений ГЕС.
Ага. All right. So we've been showing you everything we can here on the ground, what the civilians have to say, what the government officials have to say, what the military members have to say. And as you see, as was pointed out, the Kakhovka hydroelectric plant, or the dam that was blown up, we're here trying to get as much information out of that as possible. So we hear the gunshots, we hear the war going on here, and we're just going to continue on to push forward to bring you as much as we can. We can't stay here for too long because of the drones. I mean, we hear them literally shooting at drones above us. We don't know where those drones are. They could land here at any point. These are kamikaze drones that Ukraine flies with FPV glasses and hammers specific areas. They could be looking at us right now. So now we got to go. We're going to go meet with the head of the city and hopefully get even closer to the front line. Maybe not this particular one, but a little bit on the edge of the city. We're doing everything we can to show you exactly what the real situation is, so you don't have to listen to the mainstream media, their half-truths and lies.
Access denied. It's fire. Fire. В общем, огонь ведется на поражение.
They fire here.
Yeah, they fire here.
Uh-huh. And mina, да, там.
Mine.
Yeah, mine, landmines. So, там это украинский, да?
Yeah. О, да, прямо там, на той стороне реки, уже украинцы, которые наблюдают сейчас нас в бинокле.
Ага. Может, снайпер, да?
Да, здесь работают постоянно снайпера, прилетают дроны, поэтому находиться на открытой местности не рекомендуем.
Угу. Но дальше лучше не ехать, да?
Я не гарантирую вам безопасность, если вы дойдете даже до этих баков.
Угу. Понял. Ну, а это передовой, да?
Это первая линия. Вот там уже на берегу находятся окопы и позиции наших войск.
Угу. All right. As you see, we are on the very front line. We came even closer than we were before, and this has been a special update for Redacted. We can't go any closer because it's just too dangerous. I mean, this is the mine line, as you could say. The landmines could be anywhere here, and there could be an incoming shelling at any time. We bring you everything we can. This has been the front line of the Russian-Ukraine war in the Kherson region. That's Ukrainian territory. This is Russian-controlled territory. We bring you to the front as always. That is Ukrainian territory. Whoop. There we go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Thanks to Patrick for covering this for us. And again, this is how we're able to, you know, shine a light on stories here on this show that the mainstream media will not touch. and be able to give voice to amazing independent journalists who are on the front lines covering these stories. So thank you for your support. Thank you for subscribing to the channel and being a part of our great community here. Speaking of that, next we're going to talk about Elon Musk and Starlink and the controversy there. And what would happen if Starlink was totally shut down in this war zone? Could this war completely end overnight? We're going to talk about it. And the blowback, the ferocity with which Democrats are going after Elon Musk now on his Starlink issue in Ukraine. But first, as many of you know, from time to time, I bring on Kevin DeMeritt, the founder of Lear Capital, on the show to bring some valuable insight as to what's happening right now in our global economy. And of course, we are seeing our debt now over $33 trillion. And as Kevin and I were talking about, the BRICS nations planning to move away from the U.S. dollar, create a gold-backed currency, which they did in August, and thinking about making sure your family's retirement is not tied to the U.S. dollar, making sure that your family has hard assets like gold, silver, real estate. This is what we talk about. I strongly recommend that you call Lear Capital today. Go to LearRedacted.com and get a free copy of The Tipping Point, which is a new report that Kevin just published that helps explain how to protect your savings, how to protect your retirement with gold and silver. It's totally free. Education report, so you can learn about how to actually do that. Because a lot of people have misconceptions about gold and silver. They're really not educated on it. They're like, wait, do I need to have gold bars in my house? No. That's why people need to understand how this actually works. Natalie and I just bought a lot of silver just recently, and we don't have massive silver bars stacked in our house. Like, that's not how this works, okay? So just get educated on the process about how you can plan and take some of that money that's sitting in U.S. dollars right now or euros and converting it over into precious metals. Lear Capital has that special report. Go there, grab it. It's called The Tipping Point. It's free information right now about the U.S. dollar, the economy, and what it could mean for your savings and retirement. So right here on your screen is the place to go. Go to LearRedacted.com or call their 800 number. And they love to be able to talk with you on the phone, too, and have a conversation with you, actually, which is very rare in this day and age since we just live behind the internet. You can get on the phone and call them. 1-800-613-3557 or go to LearRedacted.com. Again, 1-800-613-3557 or go to LearRedacted.com. And I want to thank Kevin and Lear for putting this this special report together for our Redacted viewers. Well, the knives are out for Elon Musk in Washington, all because last year he rejected a request from Ukraine to not flip on his Starlink internet access so they could use it to attack the Russian naval fleet in Crimea. This was seen as like, oh my God, you're not supporting Ukraine and helping them attack the Russian naval fleet. Dan Cohen is in Washington with all of the blowback against Elon Musk. Dan, what do we know?
Yeah, Clayton. So what happened was last September, a year ago, the Ukrainians wanted to carry out an attack against a Russian naval fleet stationed in Sevastopol in Crimea using drone submarines guided by Starlink. They thought, apparently, that Starlink, which Elon Musk and SpaceX, which he owns, provides in Ukraine, that it actually covers Crimea, but they were wrong. It does not operate in Crimea because of U.S. sanctions on Russia. Russia controls Crimea. It is now part of Russia after the referendum a couple of years ago. So in this way, the U.S. recognizes that the results of that referendum. So Ukraine wanted to use Starlink for what would have been a very dangerous and escalatory attack in this war that is not defensive. It's in Russian-controlled territory, not in Ukrainian territory. So not defensive, but offensive. And that would have required Elon Musk to violate U.S. law. So that's the correct version of what happened. The journalist Walter Isaacson, in his new biography of Musk, he actually wrote that Musk switched off Starlink in Crimea in order to prevent this attack. That was wrong, but Isaacson actually clarified it on Twitter. Here we can see the clarification, but the clarification has been completely ignored by the most sycophantic war pigs in politics, and in the media. Everyone from John Bolton to Elizabeth Warren has denounced Elon Musk.
I wouldn't. I mean, it is his decision to cut off the Starlink capability in the face of a potential Ukrainian military operation was a direct interference in the country.
It is not up to one billionaire to go off in secret and change our foreign policy. I think we need an investigation, both from the Department of Defense and from Congress.
Here we have the reporter on MSNBC's Morning Joe floating the idea that Musk should be sanctioned for not going along with this attack.
Yeah, and we saw Tony Blinken being grilled about that this weekend. You know, was Elon Musk trying to undermine effectively U.S. policy in Ukraine, and should there be some kind of sanctions against him? But
and then this one is my favorite. We have Rachel Maddow just totally out of her mind.
There's this one American private citizen who is intervening to try to stop Ukraine from winning the war, to try to stop from Ukraine from defending itself against this Russian invasion, trying to stop it and, in fact, stopping it by turning their communication lines on and off at will as he sees fit or as someone sees fit.
Rachel Maddow is like, I mean, unhinged. I mean, I love that graphic behind her with this, like, you know, Hitman logo of the Russian flag. It's this deteriorating paint job calling for Musk to have turned this on so that Ukraine could have launched this. And I think the sanction piece of all of this is really fascinating, right? Because basically Elon Musk is going along with U.S. sanctions and not violating U.S. sanctions. And what they're asking him to do is to sanction Elon Musk for adhering to U.S. sanctions against Russia.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what Rachel Maddow says there is just, she's implying, she says, as someone sees fit. She's referring to Putin. She's implying that Elon Musk actually took orders from Putin to prevent this attack. And then the graphic, as you said, calling Musk a Russian hitman. She's calling him a traitor, but she just won't explicitly say it. She just implies it. And we know what the punishment for treason is in the United States. It can be death. So that's a pretty incredible lie and claim from Rachel Maddow. And again, this is all based on a lie. She says that Elon Musk turned off Starlink when the Ukrainians were going to carry out this attack, which he did not do. He did not turn it off. He just rejected the request to turn it on, which was in line with U.S. sanctions and was also a wise move to prevent, maybe a major escalation of this horrible war. So who knows what it could have turned into, maybe even a nuclear exchange. I mean, another thing in my mind, Clayton, that the reaction from Washington, from the pundits and the politicians makes clear is that this is a U.S. war with Ukrainians providing manpower. Because if this were between Ukraine and Musk, then they wouldn't have much to say about it. That would be like, okay, that's between them. We're just providing the weapons. You know, they make the decisions. That's what they say, right?
Right.
But, you know, that's not what's going on. They had a complete meltdown that Musk is not doing exactly what he is contradicting U.S. foreign policy. So, you know, it just really rips the mask off this whole thing.
Yeah, it was always so fishy, too. I mean, he was donating all of these Starlink pieces of equipment back in at the start of this war. And so, you know, they have hundreds of these Starlink mobile satellites that they've been using in the field to attack Russia. So they've been, it's not like they haven't been using them all along. You know, and one could argue, right, that maybe you should shut them all off in that entire region. Well, I mean, what would that do if we shut all of these Starlink satellites off all through Ukraine in that entire area?
Exactly. I mean, to me, that's like really the fundamental question that this whole thing raises. It's like none of these, you know, officials or media talking heads had anything negative to say throughout this whole time about Elon Musk providing Starlink satellite internet in Ukraine. It's been there all along. And in fact, it was USAID that bought tens of thousands of Musk's Starlink satellites early on in the war. This article actually lists the cost at roughly $10 million, and it's essential for Ukraine's war effort. Mikhailo Fedorov, the deputy prime minister, former World Economic, young leader or young fellow, he told the New York Times recently that, quote, Starlink is indeed the blood of our entire communication infrastructure now. This is one of the fundamental components of our success. And earlier this year at the World Economic Forum, where he appeared, he said, this is our new critical infrastructure in liberated territories and frontline areas to restore communications between people. So, I mean, Starlink and Elon Musk is essential. It's fundamental in Ukraine's war effort. And really, I mean, you know, I don't want to, obviously I'm not on the side of Rachel Maddow and all, but how is Musk not war profiteering like Raytheon or Lockheed Martin or any of the military industrial complex behemoths who are making huge amounts of money in Ukraine? He is too. So, but I mean, to your point, if he had never sent Ukraine Starlink or cut them off, I think the war would have probably maybe ended long ago based on Mikhailo Fedorov's comments, and maybe hundreds of thousands of people wouldn't have died, but he didn't. He didn't do that. So, you know, in fact, just this June, a couple of months ago, SpaceX got a Pentagon contract to keep Starlink going. So, I mean, you know, Elon Musk is essential. SpaceX and Starlink is essential to keeping the Ukraine war going, despite this kind of, you know, fight between them now, which is based on a lie.
It is interesting, really. I mean, and I think, you know, there's a lot of people maybe on the right who now, you know, love Elon Musk for what he's done with Twitter and, you know, pushing free speech, and they kind of look the other way on questions like this. But I think it's incumbent upon us to ask these questions. You know, why are we supplying Starlink satellite equipment to people who are carrying out attacks on, you know, on civilian marketplaces? I mean, the New York Times investigation over the past 48 hours proved that attack in the Donbass, that of course the Western media and Zelensky immediately jumped on and said it was Russia. The New York Times now has confirmed that it was in fact Ukraine carrying out these attacks, and they continue to attack in these areas. And if Starlink is literally the linchpin that's allowing them to carry out these attacks, to make these communications targets and communicate back and forth to Kiev and so forth, I mean, shutting them off, what would shutting off all these Starlink satellites in that area do? It would be perhaps transformative, and it could, in fact, save tens of thousands of lives and end this war right now.
Exactly. I mean, another very important element to this whole Starlink thing is not only the war effort, but the digital transformation, you know, which we've covered extensively here in Redacted. You can watch my long report on DIA, the digital ID app, and DIA is completely reliant on not only U.S. funding, but on Starlink. This digital ID app cannot operate throughout Ukraine without Starlink. So also Ukraine's CBDC, its central bank digital currency, which goes hand in hand with that DIA digital ID, neither of those would be possible without Starlink. And both DIA and Starlink are, or were, in the case of Starlink, was funded by USAID. DIA still is to this day. So, you know, it's a really kind of where there's this kind of small contradiction between these two. It kind of, to me, seems like Elon Musk has this anti-establishment persona in a way, but he's very much with the establishment in like 99%. So like, if, you know, I think a good analogy that is like the opposable thumb of this whole machine. Like it's, you know, your hand is much more effective with a thumb, and it seems like it's in opposition, but it actually works much better. It allows the entire hand to function and operate in a much more sophisticated way. So it kind of seems to me like that's really what Elon Musk's role is, despite, you know, fundamentally, despite this kind of, you know, calls for his head from Rachel Maddow.
Interesting. Yeah. So, yeah, it's unbelievable to think about how integral Starlink is to this entire war, and why people aren't you know, and we let's lead the charge and maybe calling for them to end the use of Starlink in these war zones for this very purpose. Of course, we've all outlined how nefarious the DIA program is, and of course, how nefarious CBDCs are and the central bank digital currencies. Of course, you have Representative Tom Emmer of Minnesota now calling for, to ban the use of CBDCs and not to allow that. So meanwhile, the United States Congress and the Pentagon funding Starlink and allowing us to make, you know, use Starlink in a war zone, but at the same time also being able to fund CBDCs in Ukraine. It's a big bowl of hypocrisy, I guess, is the way I look at it.
Exactly.
Dan Cohen in Washington, thanks so much. He's not using Starlink right now to communicate on the show.
I'm not using Starlink today, I was using Starlink like 2 weeks ago in Haiti for a couple minutes. So, you know, it's all over the place. And there's a gigantic.
Yeah, Michael Yon, journalist Michael Yon, who we've had on the show a number of times, reporting in Panama using Starlink mobile out in the field, like in the middle of the dense jungle. So the application of it is, you know, it's incredible. But when used for the wrong reasons, you know, this is what we end up having here in Ukraine right now. So fascinating, interesting. Thank you so much, Dan, in Washington. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks so much, Dan. We really, really appreciate it. And we want to thank all of you for being a part of our community here and supporting independent journalism. And we do have a VIP community that we'd love for you to join. And for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can sign up if you go to redacted.inc. And then on the right side of your screen, there's a community button. You can join our Redacted Rebels Plus program. Again, for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, that's very, very cheap. You can then get access to all of our exclusive content. Natalie's launching her brand new book club that will be a Locals Own exclusive, so you can read a book along with the group and then join the live stream and have a conversation about some of these really important works. This is not like an Oprah's book club where it's going to be fiction. It's going to be good nonfiction, important journalism to read. So you can, again, support what we do. Go to redacted.inc, sign up today and become a Rebel VIP and get access to exclusive videos and content, the book club, and some other things that we're launching very, very soon in there as well.
So no bodice rippers, guys. You can read that on your own.
Yeah, no romance novels.
It's not a part of the book club, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll have more information for that.
Then I'm out.
Well, you still can read it. We're just not going to tell. You can launch your own thing. It won't be on Redacted, though.
So sign up. Yeah, redacted.inc. So,
well, that's going to do it for us tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern. Remember, the newsletter comes out every day, Monday through Thursday, for those mornings. And then we're live at 4 p.m. Eastern, and we have content for you on the channel throughout the weekend as well. Thank you for liking, subscribing, sharing, and being here, and all of your contributions. We really appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.